Let me just remind you where we were with this theme of memories, which I just decided to come back to as I explained. We remembered the wonderful fact that for the Christian, God does not remember our sin. It's not that he forgets it, he chooses not to remember it. Their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. And then we thought about how Jesus learned obedience. We thought about how in his life, as he was getting older, all of his memories were memories of righteousness. Always he remembered what was doing right. There was never a first time for him to do wrong. And so he built on his memories more and more obedience until he finally offered his entire life for our sins on the cross. And he gets our sin on the cross, and we get his righteousness. And so we thought as well about how we must reckon ourselves to be dead to sin and alive to righteousness, alive to God. In other words, our memories of our own sin, we should choose not to bring up. Just as God chooses not to remember our sin, we should do the same. Because our sins have been put in the grave along with Jesus. They're gone. So we are dead to sin. But instead, when we think about the past, we can think about Jesus' past, about how he lived, and have his memories that are recorded for us in the Bible, and that we would be alive to God in the righteousness of what Jesus has done for us. So that's where we got to. And now we've come to this topic of the Holy Spirit and memory, which we didn't think about. And the Holy Spirit in us remembers Jesus. It's a bit of a cryptic theme, a bit of a cryptic heading. But let's see where it takes us. So our verse, our passage, is one we read in chapter 14 of John's Gospel. And verse 26, Jesus says to the disciples, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you," there's a memory word, "he will remind you of everything I have said to you." He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So now this is exciting. But the first thing I have to clear up for you and me is Jesus just speaking to the disciples here, and is this only for the disciples? Or is this for you and me? Is it for the whole church as well? And if we only had this verse, we might think that Jesus perhaps is only speaking to the disciples. But if you look at the verse there, it says, "The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said." So he's going to teach them. The Holy Spirit's going to teach them. Is he speaking to the 12? Well, if you look forward to another of John's writings, this is 1 John. And I've just picked out a few verses and highlighted some things in those verses. You'll see Jesus says to the church the same thing through the Apostle John. And John says to the church he's writing to, and it could well be the church at Ephesus, "You have an anointing from the Holy One," it's the Holy Spirit, "and all of you know the truth. As for you," he says, "see that what you've heard from the beginning remains in you." So these are the things, like it says in chapter 14, 26 here, "everything I've said to you," Jesus says, "everything I've said to you, disciples, from the beginning, that remains now in the church." This is a generation or two later. "And the anointing you receive from Jesus remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real and not counterfeit, just as it's taught you, remain in him." So if you're to take the essence of what's up there, you see Jesus is saying through John to the church, he's saying, "You have an anointing, you've got the Holy Spirit, and He teaches you about all things. So this is Jesus speaking to the church here through John. And so if we go back to the verse we just looked at, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Now he's speaking to the disciples, but because he says the same thing to the church through John, 1 John, we understand this verse too is not just for the disciples. This too is for the church. It's for you and for me. The Holy Spirit, whom we have in our lives as Christians, comes to do many things. He comes to teach us all things and to remind us, to bring into our through our memory, to work through our memory, the things that he remembers in us about Jesus and everything he said. It's a wonderful thing. This is one of the ways the Holy Spirit works in us. He works in us to remind us of things, to remind us of our Christian faith and what it's about. Here we go. This is me just, I should have used this slide, but let me just do it again. So Jesus said to the 12, "The Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things." And in one of the 12, John says, "Of all Christians, you have an anointing from the Holy One. His anointing teaches you about all things." It's the same thing. So this is for the church that Jesus is speaking here. It's for all Christians. It's not saying here that Christians don't need anyone to teach them. When John says back here, if we go back where he says in the middle there, you don't need anyone to teach you, what he isn't mean that they're all ignorant and that they don't need anyone to teach and they don't need anyone to tell them about Jesus because the Holy Spirit will just do it all within them. Notice they've already heard from the beginning there. In other words, they're already taught. And the Holy Spirit is just going to take what they already know. In other words, they don't need someone else to come along and teach them. Like some other false teacher especially, to bring them some new stuff that isn't true. Because the Holy Spirit is going to remind them of what they've already learned from the beginning about Jesus. It's very important to understand. So this is a work of the Spirit in us. So however much you've learned about Jesus over the years, one of the things the Holy Spirit does in us is he reminds us of what we've learned, and so that it can be personal for us. So we're going to have a look at this. I'm going to just look under five headings. Let's flick through that again. Here's another slide. I'm going to think about how the Spirit was sent, and that he is the Spirit of Jesus. He's the Spirit of the Son. He's the Spirit who remembers, just in case you're taking notes or anything. And he's the Holy Spirit. I'm going to think about these five topics. So let's go back to this passage, these verses for a minute. And let's think about the Spirit. Is the Spirit who was sent? Sent by Jesus. Sent by the Father. Now, the Holy Spirit is called two things in this verse. It's called the Holy Spirit. He's also called the Counselor. Now, the word for Counselor there literally means someone who's called alongside to help. And if you've got other Bibles available to you, like, for example, if you look in the English Standard Version that we use in Kilakin, the word's translated as helper. Now, just think about how these different words make you feel. Helper. In the more recent update of the NIV, revision of the NIV, 2011 NIV, we used the 1984 one here, 2011 NIV, has the word advocate. That's a different word again. Like someone who represents us, comes alongside to help, represents us. The 1984 NIV uses the word counselor. The Old King James Version has the word comforter. Now, they're all perfectly good and legitimate ways of translating the underlying word. But just see the richness of who the Spirit is and how in different ways these words can help us. When we're in need of someone to help us and stand up for us, he's the advocate. When we just need help, he's the helper. When we need guidance, he's the counselor. When we need consolation, he is the comforter. And this is the one who is sent to every Christian when we become Christians. I don't know how much we hear these days of people teaching that you become a Christian and then sometime afterwards you've got to get a blessing. You've got to get a second blessing. You've got to receive the Holy Spirit, be baptized in the Spirit or something. I don't hear that teaching so much these days because it's wrong. Because every Christian has the Holy Spirit from the very beginning of their life as Christians. You can't be a Christian and not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Because Jesus says in verse 26 here, he says, he's the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name. And he's going to send the Holy Spirit, not just to the 12 disciples Jesus is speaking to here. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to the church on the day of Pentecost. And every Christian is going to receive the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, whom the Father sends. Every one of us. It's very precious to stop and think about that sometimes. You know, for somebody who's got a picture of Donald out in his boat in the middle of the ocean, I know he's looking forward to this week, the weather's looking fair, he's going to be out in the boat. And just think, you're out there, maybe you're on your own, especially if there's no crew that day, you're on your own. But are you on your own? Well, no, you're a Christian. The Holy Spirit is in your very life, wherever you are. You're driving down the road, you're standing at the kitchen sink, and you're out for a walk with the dog. You're visiting someone in hospital. The Holy Spirit, God himself, the counselor, the comforter, the advocate, the helper, is in you. Wonderful. And he is sent from the Father and also from the Son, because Jesus said that the Father sends him in Jesus' name. And 15:26 we read, I will send to the Counselor to you from the Father. So Jesus says there in chapter 15, he'll send the Spirit. In Acts 2:33, remember Peter says, what's happening here? Jesus has been exalted to the right hand of the Father, and he has poured out, Jesus, what you're now seeing here. So the Holy Spirit comes, he's sent from the Father, and he's sent from the Son in heaven as well. And he comes as the paraclete, the helper, the one who comes alongside, the advocate, the counselor, the comforter to us. And he, as verse 17 says in this chapter, he lives with you, and he will be in you. He lives with you, and he will be in you. So this is a matter of faith sometimes, because if I've been pretty miserable this past week with a cold, and sometimes you think you're just sitting there dead, you know, just feeling dead. Where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the Holy Spirit? I don't feel like there's any Holy Spirit just now. All I feel is my head is stuffed with cotton wool or something. Where's the Holy Spirit? But it doesn't matter how you feel. The Holy Spirit is there in our lives, sent by Jesus. Now, he comes as the Spirit of Jesus. This is important to understand what I'm going to say now about this, and I'm sure you do already, but he is the Spirit of Jesus. The Father will send him in my name, Jesus says. In other words, he's going to be particularly associated with the name of Jesus. He's particularly associated with Jesus, not with the Father. In other words, he's going to be representing Jesus to the church, to us, and he's going to be doing that from within us. So, When we think about Jesus, we're not separate from Jesus. We're not like 5,000 miles away and 2,000 years away from Jesus. Or we're not the distance from earth to heaven away from Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus lives in us. And the living waters which flowed from Jesus can flow from us as well. So he comes to us as the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the Son. This is really important. The Spirit of the Son. The same Spirit who was in Jesus, who was in the Son. The Spirit did not indwell the Father, because the Father did not take a human body and have the Spirit dwell in that body. The Son took the human body, and the Spirit dwelled within the Son. So the Holy Spirit comes to us as the Spirit who dwelled in the Son, in Jesus, when he was on earth. And what Jesus experienced through the indwelling of the Spirit, as the Son of the Father, God wants us to experience as children of the Father. We're getting the Spirit of adoption. We're not getting a Spirit who makes us like fathers. We're getting a spirit who makes us like sons, like children, like children with the Father. That is who is coming to us, Jesus says. And how did Jesus experience the Holy Spirit? Well, the Spirit taught Jesus to say, Abba. This must have happened very, very early on in Jesus' development as a human being. You know, as he began to become conscious, as every human being does, become sort of self-conscious and become aware of that we exist and begin to figure out the relationships we have with the physical world and with the people around us and with God. And Jesus began early on to understand, God is my Abba, he is my Father. This is the Spirit who comes to us. The Spirit who enables us to experience God, the Father, as Jesus experienced him, as a Father. So the Spirit who's being sent to us in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of the Son, is particularly associated with Jesus, because he indwelled Jesus on earth, is the Spirit who comes to us, to indwell us, to enable us, like Jesus, to have a Father in heaven whom we can call Abba and whom we can be really close to. And so he makes us feel like sons and daughters of God, and not like fathers or any other relative that we might think of. He particularly makes us feel like we're children of God, and he gives to our hearts that sense of God. Doesn't make us feel like we're fathers in some way over anything or anyone. No. Doesn't make us feel like brothers or uncles or grandfathers or anything else you want to think about. He makes us like children. That is the sense he gives to us of our relationship with God. Doesn't make us feel like slaves either. Doesn't make us feel just like creatures. Doesn't just make us feel, you know, like some people that don't have any particular claim on God. He makes us feel that call in our hearts that we're children. We are children because we have the Spirit of the firstborn child, Jesus Christ, within us. So the Spirit of Jesus comes to us. He's in us. He gives to us that experience that Jesus himself had of being able to call God Father. So he said, I will not leave you as orphans, Jesus said. I will come to you. Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. So the life of Jesus is giving us life. On that day you'll realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So Jesus is going to be in us. We're going to live because he lives. He's come to us. And this is what we're given. He is the Spirit of Jesus giving us that sense of being like Jesus, those who can call God Father. And this is something that, you know, again, I actually tested it this week myself. You know, I'm not feeling like praying much, not feeling like thinking much or doing anything much or reading much. But in my spirit, there's still that Abba, Father. Still that sense. My Father is not expecting me to get up this day and rise and shine and do great things in His name. Just wait until the cold's passed. Making it sound like it was terrible, it wasn't that bad. But, you know, there are days when the Holy Spirit, it just keeps us going. And we know it's not our prayers or our Bible reading or our works that are keeping us going in our relationship with God. It's His grace and His Spirit who keeps us connected to God as a Father. Now, fourth of the 5 points we had up there was that the Spirit remembers. Spirit remembers what it was like for Him when He was in Jesus, living in Jesus on earth. He remembers what it was like being the Spirit of the Son in Jesus. He was teaching and He was nurturing the relationship Jesus had with the Father. Jesus was just a little boy, and He was growing and He was developing. And by the age of 12, we have that wonderful glimpse, and we could always wish we had a few more glimpses of when He was 6 and when He was 9 and when He was 15 and so on. But the Bible hasn't given us that. God's chosen not to give us that, even though Mary knew it all. And she could have told Luke, as he was writing this gospel, Luke, I want to give you some stuff about Jesus as a boy. Didn't happen. Did give him one story of Jesus at the temple. And prominent in that story is Jesus as a son, and He wants to be, as He says, in the things of my Father. He almost rebukes Mary and Joseph for just thinking that He was lost when He was very much not lost. He was in the things of His Father. And that is what the Holy Spirit remembers, that kind of nurturing He had in Jesus, to give Jesus, that boy at 12 years old, surrounded by the teachers of the law, that sense, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of God. The Holy Spirit remembers that that is what He gave to Jesus. And so when He comes to us, He brings to us that Spirit of adoption. And He comes us the Spirit of adoption. He comes us the Spirit of the Son. And He comes to give us the same sense of being children. Obviously, we're not unique in the way Jesus was, being God the Son as well. But that man, Jesus Christ, had that sense of being able to call God Father. And that is the sense the Spirit remembers giving to Jesus. And He gives it to us as well. This is what He wants for us. He's seen how Jesus responded to the leading and teaching that He gave Him. And the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the richness and depth of the relationship He was going to have with the Father as He grew and as He began and entered in on His ministry. And the Spirit led Him out into the wilderness even. It was all about leading Jesus ever deeper into His relationship as a son to His Father. And that is what He wants to impart to us. He's seen how Jesus responded to His leading and teaching. Now He looks for you and me to respond in the same way. And that just brings me finally to the fact that He is the Holy Spirit. He's in us. So why do we all not look like Jesus in our character? You know, why are we not all just known, not just in Kyle or Calacan or whatever, but almost like known much wider as people who are just so close to God, just so absolutely immersed in our relationship as children with our Heavenly Father, that just dominates everything that we do in our lives to an extent that people around us can just see it and admire. Why are we not like that? Because that's what they did with Jesus. They could see the relationship he had with the Father. And people often are said about Jesus to marvel at him, even as the teachers of the law were marveling at this 12-year-old who had a father whose business Jesus was about. Yeah. Why are we not like that? Well, it's not the Holy Spirit's fault. It's not the Holy Spirit has come to us and he's just not quite able to do what he did in Jesus and with Jesus. Jesus and the Spirit were in perfect harmony. As whenever the Spirit said, right, you've got to this point, now Jesus, the Father wants you to go a bit further. And Jesus would go that bit further. Now the Father wants you to go into the wilderness. And Jesus would go into the wilderness. And he just wants you to eat for 40 days. And Jesus would not eat for 40 days. And he wants you to come out of the wilderness. And he wants you to go and begin your ministry. He wants you to go there. And he wants you to do this. And he wants you to say that. And he wants you to heal that person. And Jesus would just keep going and doing whatever the Holy Spirit told him that the Father wanted him to do as a son. Now, there's where the difference is. Because how often have you and I been prompted by the Holy Spirit? We just haven't obeyed. It was a really solemn thing to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. Really awesome thing. Even if it's a very small thing. It's that you're sitting maybe, you know, like maybe I'm working on my iPad and suddenly I'm thinking, you know, I wonder about that person on the news that I was reading about earlier. What's happened to them now? Well, and I'll maybe want to go and click on the news. But I'm working on something more important than that. You know, the Holy Spirit's saying, stick with what you've got doing here. You know, maybe something simple like that, but still I'll go and watch the news. Go and look at the news. You know, it might be something as simple as that. A distraction that you allow in. And it might be something much, much bigger than that. It might be a temptation. And the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, children of the Father, don't do that. Don't do that. But we still do it. And the Holy Spirit is a person who remembers what it was like to lead Jesus and now sees what we're like. Paul uses two words about the Holy Spirit's response in that situation. On one occasion he says the Spirit can be grieved. It's a word for deep inner grief. On another occasion he says the Spirit can be quenched. And it's a word like for putting out a fire. When we don't listen to the Holy Spirit's leading and teaching, we lose touch with him because he's grieved. He's still there, still giving us that sense of who we are in Christ. But when we're determined to go and do our own thing, we're willful and we're self-centered and we're avoiding suffering at all costs. We don't want to have to suffer as Christians. We don't have to pay any cost. We don't have to take up any cross and to follow Jesus. We're quite willing to take up a cushion to follow Jesus, but not a cross. The Holy Spirit is grieved. So the Spirit wants to remind us of Jesus. That's the work that Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit will do. He will remind us, will bring to our mind, will teach us about Jesus and about what Jesus says. But we've got to cooperate. You know, we've got to ourselves allow ourselves to be taught, to be led, to listen, to give time to listening, and not to be distracted and certainly not to be tempted and to fall. We must choose to remember what he wants us to remember. And that is a challenge that I leave you and I leave myself with tonight. Just think about this even as you're going home, and even when you're at home tonight and in the next few days. Think about times when you think, I think it may be that God wants to lead me this way, but I want to go that way. Think about those times. Because if you keep going your way, the Holy Spirit who lived in his power in Jesus and was always delighted with Jesus and Jesus' obedience to the Father will be grieved. And we'll be wondering why we end up feeling pretty spiritually dead. And wondering what on earth is Jesus talking about in this verse. And it's not the Holy Spirit's fault that we're wondering. It's ours. And the only way back is what Jesus always said from the beginning of his ministry. Repent and believe. Just keep coming back to God. Sorry, Lord, I went my way. The Holy Spirit said I should go that way, and I went this way instead. Please, Lord, receive me again and renew your teaching through the Holy Spirit to me, that I may be a child of my Father in heaven and walk in his love always. Amen.